It's the Moral Marriage Podcast, guys, where we give it to you straight, and we encourage you to give it to us straight. Leave a super awesome review. Send us an email with what you want us to cover. DM us, DM me, Cass Foster Moral on Instagram. We'll address what you're going through right now. It's really important that we give you the value that you deserve. I want to talk today about two-thirds of problems in marriage are not solvable. And I want to tie this to, and then there's the past. We're going to talk about why peace is so important in the home.
Stop trying to lead and make decisions all the time.
You should not be proud if you raised your voice and screamed at them.
No matter what.
I'm Cass.
And I'm Catherine. Why am I allowing him to do this in front of our children? Why am I allowing this to happen at all? You don't get to say whatever you want to a man and push him to the point where he snaps.
I might have been a really bad man the other day, but today I went out of my way to be a good man, and she thanked me for it.
Is that you always want to act in the direction you want to go. So
he is just a paycheck. What about his needs?
We're Moral Marriage.
Let's flip divorce statistics with the new marriage. Now, honey, what's the actual statistic with problems that are not solvable?
69%. So just over two-thirds of the problems are not solvable. That means they are perpetual. A perpetual problem, or a gridlocked perpetual problem, is a problem that continues to surface because of a difference in belief systems, maybe core values. And instead of trying to solve it and thinking that, oh my gosh, we can't solve our problems, you just need to learn to navigate the conflict, navigate the problem, and get through it without fighting. You can get through a problem without yelling, calling names, fighting, even disagreeing. You just have to understand each other. And that's the goal when you have a perpetual gridlock problem. It's not to solve it. Don't think you're going to solve it.
I love that, because it's so valuable. If you realize going into it, remember, guys, knowledge is power. With great power comes great responsibility. You are responsible for you and the character that you bring towards this almost, I'm going to say almost guaranteed, but virtually you have it stacked against you that you can't solve this problem. Whether that is a schedule, whether that is how we load the dishwasher, whether it, like, I, whatever the stupid or massive problem, maybe it's finances, maybe it's your intimacy, you know.
Pause.
Yeah.
The first couple examples he gave you, solvable. The second two, really classic examples of perpetual. Finances, intimacy, things that could affect your core values or your inner beliefs often are perpetual. The way someone unloads or loads the dishwasher, I forget what the first one was, that's something that you can solve. Talk about it, solve the problem.
That's right.
Really good classic examples there, honey.
Thank you, baby. So if you guys want to understand going into conflict that most problems will be a challenge, let's call it a challenge. You don't even necessarily need to know if they're solvable or not solvable, okay? Because we can get into core values and leadership and all this stuff. We can do that in another episode. I want you to just first head into a challenge knowing, into a conflict knowing that you might not have a solution. You might have to compromise, okay? Now, why this is tying into the past today is really key. And because most of you think you must address the past issues, all of them. If you think about this, knowing that we know now that two-thirds of the problems are not solvable, okay, the issues, the conflicts. Now I want you to think of what would, this is not a statistic, but what would you think would be the guess, baby cakes, with how many issues from the past are not solvable?
I'd say it's probably still 69%.
You think it's the same?
I think it probably is. And wow. The reason that I say that is because the problems from the past have a tendency to migrate into the problems right now. That's the whole reason that they call them perpetual. They're perpetual because they came from the past. But, and I'm really interested to see where you go with this, because if you continue to expect them to be solved, or you continue to talk about them the same way that you've always talked about them, they're still not going to be solvable, and they're going to cause even more conflict.
Yeah. So here's where I'm going to go with this. I love that. I'm going to defy it. You know, everything we do is against what you know, against what you're learning, against the examples you've been shown. Okay. You call it the new marriage for a reason. Okay. I'm going to challenge you to understand that they're 100% solvable. Because almost always, you don't need to address the issues from the past. Did you hear what she said? Because you have a past issue, you drag it into the future, okay? So whatever you're, we'll call it presently going through, not the future, you're bringing in the past emotion and all the character flaws or communication inadequacies, the lack of skills that you had created those problems and made them escalated, okay? Now you are stuck in the present trying to solve a current situation, tying it to the past, or maybe it's your partner, okay? And if you think about our, you know, the whole thing about positive, negative, and neutral, the past will call negative, the future will call positive. Currently, you're in the present, we'll call that neutral, and neutral is negative. But if you're allowing the past to guide your present, you cannot possibly go to the future. So I know I said 100% are solvable. What I mean is you're 100% more likely to solve an issue, a conflict, if you can leave the fucking past in the past. You know, we said this a lot. I'm going to say it again. How many things do you think that we... let me redo this. So I had my narc out. You know, today is 13 days sober. Okay. So I made that decision because I had a narc out. First time I had a narcissistic relapse in at least a couple of years. Okay. Now, the next day we had a wonderful conversation. Probably the best conversation that we had with structure, goals, future,
connection,
everything. Yeah. And then we just built on it all week. Now we're almost 2 weeks in. Okay. It's been glorious.
Yeah.
And so guys, that's following a terrible narcissistic relapse where you called me a bag of assholes.
On a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Not just an asshole, a whole bag of them.
A whole bag of them. Okay. And we're laughing. She's saying, she coined the term narc out, and we're laughing. We're moving forward. And I'm so transparent that I'm on calls where guys want to join my program where that could put them off. But the fact that we are here laughing about it should indicate what we're talking about today. Why I want to bring this up is we didn't address past issues the next day. I came remorseful, apologized, and my solution for starters was to go sober. Certainly, we've managed, you guys probably know this by now if you've been listening for a while, we learn to manage mostly our emotions drinking a lot, okay? We encourage our clients, people in our life around us to not drink as much because we recognize it added time to our growth journey to saving our marriage.
I just want to clarify that when he's talking about we managed it with drinking, we're talking about the previous marriage.
Like our old us. Yeah.
When we were in conflict, we were drinking a lot.
Yes, that's right. And so, but here's the thing. It's, you guys know this. If you drink, you lose your inhibitions. If you drink, you have less emotional control. If you drink, you take things more personally. If you drink, anxiety, depression, insecurity, fear all come out of you more. Okay. I made the choice because what happened was I had a narc out. It was because I took something personal after a whole lot of drinking. And so I came to Catherine the next day and said, okay, I'm never drinking again. And then we ended up having this conversation. It was glorious, like we were just talking about. But we didn't address the past.
We addressed what happened the night before, the present. So I just want to touch on something because in case any of the listeners are confused, I think initially you said 100% are not solvable. And then you said 100% are solvable.
Oh, sorry.
So what he's saying is 100% of them are solvable and you can solve them by leaving them in the past where they belong.
That's right.
So if you try to address them, then they might turn into these perpetual problems. It might even turn to worse problems if you don't know how to navigate them. But if it's not necessary to bring them into the present, don't bring them in. And when you work on your relationship, what you'll find is that as your connection grows and as your emotional intimacy and physical intimacy, and that's so important, we'll talk about that probably in another podcast. But when all of this grows, some of the problems that you thought were so big, they go away on their own because you're connected.
Yeah.
And you're not worried about whatever it was. It goes away.
That's right. Like the easiest way, and I don't know how else to explain this, but like I use the toilet paper rolls. Like you just don't care. You know, everybody knows that women like to leave the toilet paper roll right next to the garbage can.
I'm glad on the floor. Women and not just me.
I think it's my man in my program say that. This is the thing. And so I always tell guys, just act like you just got laid. Like take the Oscar home, man. Like if you just got laid, you wouldn't care. By the time you let these little things stack up and stack up, there are all these problems that you can't solve when almost always you probably could solve them. Typically, you're tying them back to the past, which is making them part of the two-thirds that can't be solved. What I believe is that the two-thirds of problems in marriage that are not solvable, that statistic, I believe we could all in the new marriage bring that number way down if you stopped thinking about the damn past, all the little nitpicky things, all the little problems, or my needs were met for this or for that, and just provide structure for the future. If you're listening to this, you're the one who wants it.
And it might still be 69%, but there are so fewer problems. Picture it. If you have 10 problems, of them are going to be perpetual. If you have 100 problems, now all of a sudden it's 70. So when you have fewer problems because you have more connection, it doesn't change the statistic, but it sure as heck changes the number of problems. And I think that's what you were getting at.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Thanks for bringing that up and clarifying. Now, before we go, I want to say this. At the end of the day, of course, one or both of you might have issues that you do need to talk about. It's not like we never talked about the past. Okay, I'm not serving you a magic pill here. We can pretend, like the last episode, sweep it under the rug, okay? No. Of course not. There are feelings that might need to come out. But again, how are you communicating those feelings? You know, there are needs that might need to be met, but are you showing up meeting your partner's needs and understanding their feelings before you're trying to puke yours all over them, trying to solve a problem by getting your needs met? You will never solve a problem by saying me, 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 me. And this is why I get so upset when men are so angry, because I'm like, you might not be the full problem. Your wife definitely could be part of the problem, or is part of the problem. In fact, both of you are. Let's get real. But whether you're man or woman, if you're not the solution, then you're definitely the problem. And where people get so confused with this is, well, that's bullshit. You're not holding your partner accountable, blah, 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 blah.
Worry about yourself first. Yeah. There will be time to hold your partner accountable, but you need to worry about yourself first.
Yeah, exactly. So, sorry, we got a bunch of animals going on here. So if you can focus on meeting your partner's needs, solving problems, at least trying to be the solution, the past won't matter. It just won't. You'll let your partner feel, get their shit out, and you'll just carry on the future. Provide the leadership for the future. Gotta go. See you next time.